The Around the NFL Podcast, SoCal's number one Delaware tribute band.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
I got to say, we have to get some new money tags. We got to get some money intros. I feel like we've hit the recycle bin a couple times.
I did send out a call to arms on our Twitter. Use the hashtag money tags. You've sent in some great ones. We're going to add our own, and we're going to have Matt Money Smith record some new ones next week. But keep sending them. Keep sending the good ones.
I've seen some great ones so far.
What else? Also on Twitter, a lot of positive feedback about Spice Rack.
Oh, yeah.
What is Spice Rack's Twitter handle? We should help him out.
It's like at Brad.
No, you should say what it actually is.
You don't even need to help him out that much. He hasn't tweeted in 3 months. I checked. I was going to follow him, and he never tweets. So I thought, well,
it should be like at the Spice Rack.
Yeah, obviously.
Start a new one.
It's time for him to brand himself. If he wants to get back on the show, he's got to brand himself and just be prepared for, you know.
He sent me a bunch of texts last night. He was a little down in the dumps at first, but I think, you know, once I told him that the listeners liked it, he felt a lot better.
It was great.
His Twitter handle is @Brad_Marquee, MarqueeLV.
Yes. That's terrible.
I'm a little concerned about his emotional state and the fact that he's, in the course of 24 hours, been very high maintenance in terms of Wes's friendship with him.
Mm. No, he hasn't been high maintenance.
Okay, well, just so he's all over the map emotionally.
He's up, he's down.
I thought he did great. How about having a little self-confidence? You did great.
He felt like he left a lot of meat on the bone, to borrow Joseph Randall's.
There is – he is your desert Svengali, and a lot of people said, ooh, would he be a good challenger and win Wes's toaster?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Would he?
He knows a lot about sports, but I've been doing this for a living for the last almost 10 years, which gives me a tremendous advantage over him.
Humble brag.
Yeah, wicked humble. Christmas time humble brag.
I'm just giving you an honest answer.
Smells like hubris is what that smells like.
The gift of humble brag this holiday.
It was an honest assessment.
Poor Wes.
It's about me.
Did you want me to give you coach speak or something?
Well, all right. So listen, Wes, we love you. It is the holiday season. We are 2 days away from Christmas. We gave gifts to each other on Tuesday's show. Now we will give the gift to our listener of an excellent Week 16 preview. Nailed it. Home run. Where's the Stitcher? We will go through each of the 16 games. What?
Well, no, I was just going to say, continue on.
Okay. Each of the 16 games on the Week 16 schedule. So there will be 32 teams, 16 games to talk about.
I was going to say, we can pull back the curtain a little bit. Hansis has got to catch a bird with an airplane down to Texas to see your lovely wife and your son, Jack. So yes. we're going to try to mow through these games in an expedient time and get you there on time. And the Thursday night game will be really quick, too, because we know some of you might be listening to this on Christmas or even the day after Christmas when you're traveling back home.
Do you call airplanes birds now that you have – an image of you wearing sunglasses and like a leather jacket for your other podcast?
Are you talking about the Rosenthal and Jesselnik Vanity Project new logo? Thank you. Thank you for the plug. We have a new episode on Wednesday, too.
The Rump Podcast? I think that's what the logo says.
RJVP.
I'm not ready to talk about the image yet.
You're not,
I don't think anyone on earth has talked about it more than you in the past 24 hours. No one cares what you say or about the logo in general.
See how Greg's voice and pitch is raising and he's talking over me? It's because he is very nervous what I have to say about it. I'm just not ready to talk about it.
I care deeply, Dan. I want to hear your thoughts on the logo.
Yeah, for now, Sunday show we'll talk about it. For now, everyone make sure you go check out the RJVP whatever podcast and check out the image. So we could all
said with such disdain, Dan.
What do you mean?
Such disdain.
A little dismissal.
What do you mean? I support Greg.
Yeah, if I was half as dismissive about anything that Dan ever did, he would give me the full, I won't even say who, the treatment where you don't even speak to me for weeks on end. I wouldn't hear from you.
Well.
What kind of treatment is that, Greg?
I don't know. I've never done that to you.
No. That's a maneuver that happens sometimes.
Interesting. All right, so let's get to some football games. And we will start, yes, with the Thursday night matchup. The Chargers traveling to Oakland to face the Raiders, traveling to the dark black hole. You know, this is a game that will be played on Christmas Eve between two teams that aren't going to the playoffs. And yet, there is some juice, isn't there, Greg?
Yeah, there is. It could be the last game in the history of the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. I really doubt it. But the bigger one is that one of the greatest players of the last generation is playing his last home game, and one of the players I think most identified with the Raiders over the last 25 years. If ever there's a true Raider, it's Charles Woodson.
And one more thing to watch in this game, Amari Cooper's Offensive Rookie of the Year chances in a race that's still pretty much wide open. Someone like David Johnson could claim it with a few hot weeks.
Yeah.
I feel like the Raiders in general still have a lot to play for. I mean, you're not going to make the playoffs, but no, I think what they've accomplished this season, A, their coach sticks around. B, their GM sticks around after this year. You've got a lot to build around on both sides of the ball. It's not
a very promising season for the Raiders.
I think so, too. I don't think this is depressing if you're a Raiders fan.
No.
You've got to be happy.
It'll be a celebration on Thursday night, I think, of Charles Woodson. How many players say they want to go back and play for the team that they drafted them? But not many really do it. Not many pass up an opportunity, a contract from the Denver Broncos who were playing, you know, were coming off a great season. He said, no, I'd rather go back to Oakland. And then he does it with a Pro Bowl season. They showed up in mass even when he was coming to visit the team again. He's so popular there. So it's cool. It should be a cool scene.
I thought that was really cool that he, like, took some responsibility because he loves the Raiders organization so much to take them from a place that had no hope. And he's like, you know what? I've got them now here where they've got building blocks. They've got hope. My work is done. I can retire.
These are the last three seasons for the Raiders, 3-13, 4-12, 4-12. So, you know, even if they split these last two games, even if they don't win another game, 6-10 is an improvement. If they can get 7 or 8 wins, you got to be very excited. Hope is in the building. So we'll see if they can take care of business. I believe we have all picked the Raiders to do just that. Yes, we have all picked the Raiders to win this game and move to 7-8. Moving on, gentlemen, let's move now to Saturday Night Football. This is, you know, I remember the Saturday. I miss Saturday Day Football.
Absolutely.
Which was always fun. But we'll take a little Saturday Night Football for the second straight week. This time, a big NFC East matchup, one that can determine who wins the NFC East. That is the Washington Redskins. You know, I said that I could not imagine Jay Gruden at a podium talking about his big win of the NFC East. But now here is his chance to close out the division. And, Mark, here's the thing, though, and we talked about this on an NFL Network hit. Why does it feel like this division is destined to be settled in Week 17 and not here? It seems too clean.
Well, I think that's just based on what we've – I'll use the word endured all season with the NFC East. I mean, as soon as you start to feel some sense of surety or confidence, for instance, in the Redskins – It's sandblasted a week later.
Remember the Eagles a few weeks back?
Yeah,
or is it, they are the favorites.
Or the Giants, for that matter.
Or the Redskins when they were about to host the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. If it wasn't for that game, if they just beat Matt Castle, this thing would be over.
You're right. I mean, I do think, though, at this point, what the Redskins have going for them is Kirk Cousins. Again, it's a week-to-week proposition, but he's playing the best he has all season. DeSean Jackson is back. He's healthy. He's had a great month. And Jordan Reed, with 200 less snaps than Gary Barnage, has 9 touchdowns. Same with Gary Barnage. I mean, Jordan Reed is playing out of his mind. So you've got your weapons ready to go against a defense that's, you know, given up 40 points in 3 of their last 5 games.
You watch the Eagles, and, you know, I wanted to pick the Eagles. But at the end of the day, the game I watched on Sunday night, and they were playing a vastly superior team. But it's just, this team seems like it has so many issues. And the Redskins are just playing much better right now. And it just seems to me that Washington should take care of business. Greg, do you feel that way?
I do believe that the Redskins are a much better and more consistent team than the Eagles. I think the Eagles were very lucky to win in Foxborough and that they were lucky to beat the Bills. I kind of can't figure out how they won those games. What happened to this defense? As bad as Chip Kelly's offense has been compared to expectations, the defense has been more surprising over the last 8 weeks, that they suddenly went from one of the better defensive lines in the league and in a good front seven and a Pro Bowl safety, Pro Bowl quality safety in Malcolm Jenkins, to just nothing. And this is where, if you want to make the case that they're just not playing with the same intensity as other NFL teams, I think you look at that defense. It's been a total disappointment. And Cousins and this Redskins offense should be able to put together some of those 8, 10, 12 play drives that they're really known for at this point.
Speaking of Cousins, let's now look over to the Kissing Cousins corner. Wes and Sess, are you guys comfortable? Number one, are you comfortable with the "you like that" trademark that has been filed by Kirk Cousins? And number two, will you buy some officially endorsed "you like that" apparel if he does get the trademark?
Care not for the trademark whatsoever. I mean, who cares? It's a cool saying because it happened organically, but now that it's a trademark, give me a break, whatever.
Go ahead.
But this guy's leading the NFL in completion percentage and set the record for best completion percentage at home in an NFL season.
He's the most effective quarterback in the league on throws 1 to 10 yards. There's a good stat in our research packet. He leads the NFL in quarterback rating. In passes over 10 yards, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, sub 50% completion percentage. So I give Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins credit. They're playing to his strengths. He's just not going to be a guy that ever gets you excited throwing the ball down the field. And he's not even trying. And they're, you know, they have a pretty good offense despite it.
9 yards per attempt over the last 7 games, though. That's not bad.
But it's all on the short passes that go long. A lot of it's screens, and he gets the ball out quick, and he makes the right decision.
It seems like at least once or twice a game, he's getting the ball to DeSean Jackson deep.
Yeah, lately. Two quick nuggets.
Numbers don't lie, though.
Redskins, I mean, only 2 wins in the last 14 games on the road, but we are not kissing Cousins, Wes and I, but we both hail from Germany, from about 20 miles away,
way back when.
Sesselberg, and I think, what is it, Wessel?
Wessling is a city in Germany.
There you go. Mm.
So
you maybe.
You like that?
There you go.
So?
Just a couple of areas.
Well, you know, our ancestors probably agreed and disagreed on sport topics going back hundreds of years, while you and Greg were separated by continents.
I was just saying, Greg's father was born in Nazi Germany. Are you happy about that?
No, I'm not happy about that.
Where are you coming from with this?
Well,
like
that's
Greg?
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
my family.
I'm talking about
too.
Like the pastoral times when it was a peace-loving group.
Yeah,
I don't
my
agree with their,
left
their
Germany.
Oh yeah,
go
back really far in German history. Always a calm group of people.
All right, that'll be fine. All I'm saying is that
let's not paint anybody with a broad brush.
The Cossacks are chasing Greg's family around.
Mark, Dan, and Wes all picked the Redskins to clinch the NFC East. Greg quit doing picks.
Well, I'm taking the Eagles. Just because you're right, it deserves to go to Week 17.
Taking
this
lousy
division. I'm taking them to win this game. The Redskins haven't beaten a winning team all year.
Moving on, the Carolina Panthers are 14-0, chasing history. And I haven't heard anything yet about because they haven't locked up the NFC top seed yet, right? A win on Sunday would do that, correct?
That's true. They still have something to play for.
But this certainly, to me, feels – first of all, they have the Falcons in Atlanta – a game, again, they should win. The schedule is favorable for them to get to 16-0. And I don't want to look past this game, but I just do want to say that this certainly feels like a team, as exhausting as they've been in the last couple of days, a team that will not fold up tent and, settle, play starters for a quarter in Week 17 and then look ahead to the playoffs and risk not going 16-0. I think this team knows and they get it, and that's a good thing, that 16-0 is a big deal. I'm excited that the Panthers are going to go for this.
I don't find them exhausting at all. I find them invigorating, that a team that plays like a team on defense, especially so good week after week, so much intensity. They're a fun team to watch. The Josh Norman thing doesn't bother me at all. And just, they're different.
Nothing bothers you, Greg. Everything is like, who cares?
That's not true.
Matters,
I like this. This is the original team of ATL, and you guys have no connection
this
to
is
it.
Not that team.
But their fans.
There's a lot that connects that team to this team.
Their fans have been abhorrent this year. That's why they're hard to take.
I think, yeah, it's what you on the field during games, you're right.
That's what I care about.
Okay, all right. Well, that's great that you can isolate, separate that from all the other things that surround the team. Covering the Panthers week to week, it's almost as if in the last fortnight or so, they've embraced the villain role, that they have to get that chip back on their shoulder. And good for them if that's the psychology happening inside the building. But covering them day after day and the stuff that's happened, especially in the last 2 weeks, they are tiresome. Mm. That's how I feel. Not on the field.
But I think that would happen with any 14-0 team.
It's not happening with the Cardinals. 14-0,
well, they're not
14-0. All right. Oh, so
it happened with the Patriots. I think this is when you're on the top, then people just – it's this sort of stuff
happens.
If Josh
Norman wasn't, like, taking page by page, paragraph by paragraph, after the book that Richard Sherman wrote –
thank you.
I mean, it wouldn't be so tedious. But come on, Josh Norman. It's easy to see through what you're doing here.
You also kind of got toasted last week. Sneaky toasted, right, Wes?
I wrote about that for Next Gen Stats. Odell Beckham left 100 yards and a touchdown on the field.
Absolutely.
And, look, nobody shut down Odell Beckham unless you want to say Odell Beckham shut himself down for 57 minutes.
Butler did about as good a job as anyone. Certainly didn't shut him down. Gave up one big, big play. But you're right. No one shuts him down.
I want to get you, Greg, if I would have gotten you in Secret Santa, I would have gotten you the official jersey of the practice squad player that approached Odell Beckham with a baseball bat. That guy's cool. Enjoy the CFL, bro, if you're lucky.
Well, we should say, Ron Rivera seems to be one of the genuinely nicest people in the league, so I do hope he does.
And he speaks the truth. When he's mad, when he got angry at the reporters for continuing to ask, what was it last week? I'm even forgetting the tiresome situation with Cam Newton. And then this week, I like that he called out the Giants. He called out the Giants for leaking information about the bat and was saying that's excuse making. He just
and
said
the idea that racial slur or not racial slurs, but gay slurs were used. He went out and said that this smells a little bit like spin control.
Exactly.
By that somebody was out there. Which I mean,
the spin control was especially strong on Monday.
Right, and it was from the Giants, so I love Rivera.
By the way, Josh Norman, we did talk about a little bit when we were talking about the Beckham stuff that Norman was not innocent in all this. The league fined him two separate fines totaling over $26,000 for some of his behavior. And we should say at time of taping today, Beckham, his appeal hearing is going on in the league office. He's trying to get that one-game suspension knocked off. But anyway, the Panthers should take care of it. The Falcons got back on track, but they're still – this is an inferior team. We all took the Panthers to win the game.
Don't blow this one. I know it's a division game on the road, but don't blow this one, Carolina.
I think they're going to close.
Of all the games. I think they'll
close.
Surviving that Giants game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
And Cam Newton, you know, that was pretty badass. I will say the gif that floated around of after Beckham scored the touchdown to tie the game – and they cut to Newton on the sideline, and he's, like, shaking his head, like, all right.
I got this.
Goes out there, 70 yards down the field, game over.
Yeah, it was cool.
It seems like they're doing something special. Just a little tiresome. That's some of the antics, that's all.
Any time we talk about tiresome, it's usually around one or two people. It's not the whole team. It's just one or two issues or nonsensical individuals.
Well, and Wes says the fan base as well. So that makes it a bigger war. I don't necessarily mean the fans as much, but I just
said
their
Twitter presence is just abhorrent. I mean, give me a break.
Well, his editor, David Ely downstairs, who is a Panthers fan, says that they're learning to deal with success.
Greg's furrowing his brow.
No.
I'm sure the people who go to the games are fine, whatever. The city's cool.
Right.
But the people on Twitter are just – they've overtaken the Seahawks as the worst.
I'm just happy our editor, David Ely, got a mention because it's going to be his Christmas present.
That's true.
Even though he's Jewish.
Moving on. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 9-5, surviving a big scare last week in Denver or against Denver, a nice comeback win that really saved them from being in a very bad situation. Now they have a chance to lock up a playoff spot by taking care of business, and it starts at Baltimore against the decimated Ravens. Mark, these are two teams that you loathe. You loathe them so much that during Secret Santa, you elaborated one gift to disband the Ravens entirely. And my thought, when I had to think of what would make Mark happiest, I had Ben Roethlisberger framed for capital murder, multiple counts of capital murder. So I'll let you talk about this game a little bit.
Well, the last time the Ravens played the Steelers, they got Michael Vick, who couldn't connect with Antonio Brown. I think now you're looking at a completely different team entirely. And the Ravens, I tweeted this out and got a lot of heat because I wish them Merry Christmas with this stat, that the Ravens have allowed 28 passing touchdowns while having just 4 interceptions, which is the worst touchdown-to-interception ratio going back to at least 1933. So we've talked all year about this secondary that has been getting torched, and now you're dealing with a passing game that is white hot. And I don't hate the Steelers. I respect the Steelers a lot.
You hate the Ravens.
I do not respect the Ravens because of their roots. And that's my own issue to deal with. It's not your issue to deal with. But I think Pittsburgh is going to take this team to town on Sunday easily, because they're going to go right into the playoffs and knock. They're going to upset a few teams, I think. I'm not sure anyone can stop the Steelers at this level right now.
In this room, anyway, I don't think anybody will be surprised if they knock off some teams. I don't even know they'll be an upset. This is a loaded team. All they have to do is stay out of their own way and not get hurt.
You can pick the Steelers apart through the air. But Jimmy Clausen cannot pick the Steelers apart through the air.
Right.
Matt Schaub, this is just a bad matchup for a team that has no one left to play.
Yeah, Dave Damashek, of course, our friend and host of the Dave Damashek football program. He's somehow worried about this game because of the rivalry.
He's always worried.
But that's hogwash. They should drop a 50-burger on him.
It's not a rivalry. This is essentially how the other teams, when they were bad in this division, felt about being called rivals to the Steelers. This is a Ravens team stripped of all their weapons and all what makes them a strength. It's not the same team right now.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, this.
That's a ridiculous Christmas present.
Well, no team.
Wallowing in some, ridiculous random AFC team's misery, I could use a better.
No team needs to be put out of their misery more than the 2015 Ravens. It has been a long death. They have been dead forever. Yeah, they do.
They are. I do think that they're playing hard for Harbaugh still.
Yeah, they compete.
We all picked the Steelers to move to 10-5. Up next, the Dallas Cowboys with, Kellen Moore, now the starting quarterback, their fourth starter of the season. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yoinks, what a nightmare in Dallas. They will try to win their fifth game of the season. They got to do it in Buffalo against the Bills. And, a month ago maybe we'd be like, ooh, Bills are going to roll over the Cowboys, and perhaps they still will because the Cowboys are not very good. But the Bills are a mess. I mean, I like to call this, if you're following what's going on right now in Buffalo, it's kind of like a controlled mutiny where guys are speaking out. They're not outright throwing Rex under the bus or saying, we need to start fresh.
Pretty close.
I can't. Yeah, but it's close. It's like right at the line. Sammy Watkins speaking out. Mario Williams wants out of town. Bobby Dixon spoke up.
Corey Graham.
So, there's a lot of dissension. Rex Ryan's going to get a second year. I would be stunned if he didn't get a second year. But he obviously has, a ton of work to do. And I will add one thing. The four falls of Buffalo, which is 30 for 30 on the Bills Super Bowl teams that I was watching yesterday. It's not unprecedented that you can get a team back together. The year before their Super Bowl run, they were known, Wes, as you might remember, as the Bickering Bills. And they were a team that was, Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas were fighting, and everybody was unhappy.
Napoleon came in and restored order.
Well, that's what the Bills need, and maybe Doug Whaley isn't that guy, but the Bills need to get their house in order.
Well, Nigel Bradham, who's had three head coaches in 4 years, says he's never seen finger pointing like this on the Bills. So it's a worse situation now, he says, than ever. Bradham said, we're all grown men. You should know what to say, what not to say. I think what Mario Williams really taking shots at the coaching staff is what not to say. But I like what Rex Ryan said this week or on Wednesday about Kellen Moore, just a little scouting report for the game. Well, the first thing that jumps out at you, he's a little bitty dude. And then you notice he's throwing with the wrong hand. So that's the scouting report level of analysis from Rex at this point.
Oh, he's been so obnoxious this year. Like, I really turned on him when he couldn't acknowledge that Deion Lewis is a corporeal entity and then dismissed him after the game. Like, oh, he didn't beat us. Well, yeah, actually, he just did. Stop it, Rex.
That Jets-Bills game in Week 17 does not look nearly as tough now. It wouldn't surprise me if the Cowboys win this game.
I'd be shocked.
And by the way, one thing I will say.
They've kind of thrown in the towel here.
By the way, we all picked the Bills, which just tells you how much we think of the Cowboys. But who said that this is worse than anything they've ever seen in Buffalo?
Nigel Bradham, who's only in his fourth season, but he's had a lot of coaches and GMs there in four seasons.
It tells you how different the NFL is. 25-year-old
tells us it's the worst thing he's seen.
How different the NFL is now, because back in 1990 or 1989, Jim Kelly called out some teammates in the press. Thurman Thomas then called out Jim Kelly. And then Bill Polian forced the two of them to call a press conference together and read statements about how they're not going to fight with each other anymore. Can you imagine if that happened today between Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy?
And that was a playoff team.
Yes, they were.
They lost a heartbreaking loss to the Browns, but they, you could tell that there was a ton of talent on the team. I think there is in Buffalo too right now. And to be fair to Rex, this is, I don't know why I'm saying this, but the players and Booby Dixon especially said that there aren't any leaders in this locker room, that it's not just the coaching staff, that there were, that he was in San Francisco, and whenever there was something hot fire going on, they would call a meeting and there'd be players to step up and be accountable. And Greg, you're furrowing your brow at me, but that's Tom Brady and Willie McGinnis for you. That was Willie McGinnis for years in New England.
Player is the one who's not trying.
I was furrowing my brow at the Bills because I was thinking, who are their highest paid players? And I'm thinking Mario Williams, LeSean McCoy,
Marcel Darius.
Those are your leaders.
Kyle Williams.
Well, you know who it was? I think it was Fred Jackson.
Yeah, Fred Jackson.
And you trade him away, and that sometimes those trades get rid of this old player.
Flat out cut.
How can they, your locker room.
How can they say they don't have leadership when Richie Incognito's on that team?
Oh, yeah, by the way, Jerry Jones, I respect him for coming out and saying we messed up this year. We misevaluated Brandon Whedon. I hope his next step is to say we messed up on signing Greg Hardy.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on.
Or Matt Castle, for that matter.
The next 1 p.m. game. Will you get off, Matt Castle? The guy's doing his best.
It's all I have left.
I think
left.
The fact when your owner says we blew it by not keeping Brandon Whedon.
It's a shot at Matt Castle.
That's about as big an insult to Matt Castle.
It is.
He said we blew it by going into the season with Brandon Whedon as the backup. Oh.
The next 1 p.m. game to discuss is the San Francisco 49ers, who travel to Ford Field to take on the Lions.
We got to get you to the airport, Dan. This is where we can.
Greg has the Lions making the Super Bowl this
season. 1 point on this game from either team.
Look at Matthew Stafford's up to 27 touchdowns. He's having a year now. Salvaging his place on this team, maybe salvaging Calvin Johnson too, although I expect him to ask Calvin to take
it. He's having a half a year. The first half of the year should not be – I don't care what the total numbers say. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league for half the season.
He salvaged
it. You can't ignore
that. Yeah, but what you also cannot ignore is the rise of Cooter.
Well, I never would.
I mean, do we call this in the course of an entire season, like, garbage time? You go 1-7, and then you're saying garbage time in the whole second half of the season, throwing the ball over the place.
Cooter, we trust. We all took the Lions in that game.
49ers are one of the worst 4-10 teams in NFL history. I think they're the worst team in the NFL, but they have 4 wins. That's my take from this game.
That's fair. I like that take. That was a good take.
Merry Christmas.
Moving on, another 1 p.m. game. The Cleveland Browns travel to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. And I've been talking about this with Mark sporadically throughout the week, that I really think it does fit in with Browns' narrative that Johnny Manziel is going to light somebody up in one of these last 2 weeks and look really good and make the decision even harder about what to do next in Cleveland. And I think it's going to happen on Sunday. I think Johnny Manziel is going into Arrowhead, and I don't think the Chiefs are playing too hot the last couple weeks. I think they're a little more vulnerable than people realize. And I think Manziel's going to throw 3 touchdowns. I think he might run for one, too. Everyone's going to get excited in Cleveland. There's going to be a little hope back in the building. And then he's going to move into your guest house in the offseason, and you're going to watch over him just watering Gatorade all offseason. But seriously, I got a Sessler about it. That's all. That Manziel's going to have a big game. And the Chiefs, yes, one of these teams, it could easily be the Jets. We'll get to them later. But one of these 3 AFC wildcard hopefuls are going to fall. I'm banking on the Chiefs being the one. It's gutsy. I'm going to call it out.
I think you need this to happen as a Jets fan, too. So there's.
I might be willing it to happen.
You know, there's a lot of hope, but. I don't know about Cleveland, because outside of Manziel, who I do think provides a spark, they've put 5 or 6 players on IR in the last 3 or 4 weeks alone. Players are shutting down. I thought they played hard for Pettine last week, but they're just outmatched. Chiefs, even with injuries, are a much more talented team on both sides of the ball right now.
My game pass must be dysfunctional, because people keep throwing all these accolades at Johnny Manziel. I thought he was awful last week, and he held the ball too long. The entire second half, he's just trying to evade pass rushers.
I'm almost
nothing. I didn't see that as any kind of a spark game. I thought
it was
terrible.
Such a tough spot, though. I mean, that's Seattle's playing as good as anybody in the league. He's not ready to go on the road. The Browns don't have the artillery.
I know, but I don't see why, like, all of a sudden Manziel's going to be the one that pushes him toward.
That's fair. I think also he's a quarterback with no ground game, and he's under siege all day long.
Before he had a ground game.
He did, and he looked great. And that's the only game that any quarterback in Cleveland's had all season that way. I don't think that's going to happen against Kansas City. I don't think he was great last week, but he is a different player, and he provides different opportunities than Austin Davis does.
He's way better than Austin Davis.
Tamba Ali broke his thumb last week. He is expected to play, but that's a one of the most surprising Pro Bowl players in the league. It looked like he was just about on his way out of Kansas City and has had a really nice season. Justin Houston is the most underreported injury in the league. I don't think this team is the same. It's Justin, not nearly as dangerous if he doesn't play in the playoffs, and it looks like that's where they're headed. So I think that gives the Browns a chance.
There's a bizarre rule among media insiders that even though Justin Houston is one of the best players in the NFL, anytime he does something, you're not allowed to report on it. You just have to talk about Dez Bryant instead.
It's a weird rule.
It's a weird rule, but
did not know that rule. But I am not an insider.
Who enforces that?
I believe they just all get together, all the network heads, and they're like, "Oh, Justin Houston doesn't matter. He plays in Kansas City."
I think at this point,
don't talk about him.
Schefter is it's kind of like a committee where he's now the leader because he's been doing it now the longest on top. Well, I shouldn't say that.
The Indianapolis Colts. Let's move on. The Indianapolis Colts are 6-8, and this has been a frustrating season for this team. Andrew Luck has only played 7 games, and he's not coming back this week. Now they have to have any chance to save their season and maybe sneak back into the playoffs. They got to go on the road. Luckily, road is Miami against the Dolphins team. Speaking of those teams that just end the season already, the Dolphins, they just want to get out of town and figure out what to do next with their franchise, probably starting with a head coach search. But here are the Colts. Matt Hasselbeck, who said this week, and this is never a good sign, it's a direct quote, "I've got nothing left." And it's like, I have to be honest, like, how can you pick the Colts to win any games when the quarterback, the 40-year-old beaten-up quarterback, is admitting to the world that he literally has nothing physically to give and they have nowhere else to go, unless you want to count Clipboard Jesus, a man that I admire and love. But, I mean, I can't get behind that.
He's a dried-up husk of a man is what he's telling you. How can you
ignore that?
Yeah.
I mean, they could prove me wrong, but it just feels like that loss to the Texans was the end of the Pagano era. I mean, they had the 10-3 lead. They lose it to
Gotta
Brandon.
Close that out.
It's an ugly – it doesn't matter
in
the end.
You don't think they're coming off the mat.
Right. They're not coming off the mat. They're – T.Y. Hilton's criticizing the play calling this week.
Said that's
a big part of the problem.
Not my problem.
Although the Dolphins are much better. I mean, they got waxed by San Diego.
Well, the Dolphins stink.
I
know that.
The Dolphins, there's talk in Miami that they could blow the whole thing up, that even Tannenbaum might not be safe. Dennis Hickey, they change the deck chairs every 16, 18 months, it feels
Greg,
like.
Does Dennis Hickey even have a job, really?
I don't think he will next year.
Reportedly. Who covers this game on Sunday?
This is a game even Greg couldn't love.
No, I won't make a case for it. I'm going to give it to the desk.
Yes!
Give a chance. One of our fine guys like Tyler Dragon or maybe Andy Hageman, Lakeisha,
Those sound like women.
Well, the latter two are women.
Yeah. When I say guys, I mean in general. I'm just Mark Ortega.
Just trying to give him
a little love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they do a great job, so why not extend this opportunity to them to cover this flame-throwing contest?
Mark, you took the Colts as of now to stay alive.
Well, okay.
Wes and I took the Dolphins.
I made the picks like 18 seconds before the podcast. They're all false flag picks. Who knows what they mean? I'll probably change 7 of them before Sunday.
All right. Sometimes I wonder why we even do that.
I'm buried in the standings, so why not just start go swinging for the fences?
Wes has moved into first place, by the way. Let's see if Wes can close.
That's another sandwich for me.
Here we go.
You're right.
You ready? Let's move on. The New England Patriots. Another 12-win season up in Foxborough. The throne of ease is activating at powerful levels. And yet, whenever they play the New York Jets, they're in for a dogfight, Greg Rosenthal, whether the Jet team is good or the Jet team is bad. But how about when the Jet team is good and desperate? And that's what we got. The Jets need to win, essentially. I mean, they wouldn't be eliminated with the loss, but they would be just about done at that point. They are in their building where they've been good this year for the most part. They have a quarterback that's playing with a lot of confidence, that is fully aware of the stakes. He said, "This is huge for me. Brandon Marshall has never gotten to the playoffs. These guys know this is maybe the best chance they've ever had, And I don't think they're going to let it get away, Greg. I'm excited. You know I'm an optimistic Jets fan, which is never a good thing to be. But I think the Jets are going to battle, and they're going to give the Patriots their third loss. What do you think about that? How do you like them apples, to quote a little Boston?
It makes a lot of sense, and I buy it. But I'm at cross – you know, I'm feeling mixed things about this game because that – whenever it's logical that the Patriots are going to get picked off, that's generally when you get your best Patriots effort, and then afterwards everyone thinks, why did we think this was the week? Because logically, this is as bad as this team has looked injury-wise all season. You're missing Hightower this week, most likely, Amendola. We don't think Edelman's coming back. You were without Brian Stork last week. Devin McCourty hasn't been back. This team has been taking on water in general, not playing as well, and yet on the road, in a division, the division thing goes both ways. I think you're going to get a fired-up Patriots team that would love nothing more than to end this Jets season. And you have two guys in Fitzpatrick and Marshall who have played 240 combined games in the NFL. This is probably the biggest one for each of them. And I don't know. Maybe they get a little tight if they fall behind in a big spot at home.
I could see that because I think they are, like I said, fully aware of the stakes here and where their career has gone and what lies ahead, which is just uncertainty, Marshall and Fitzpatrick. And I know for a fact that it's not like the Pats are going to waltz in there and be unprepared or, you know, looking past it. They need the win too, you know, to lock down the number one seed. So I get it. It's not going to be an easy game for the Jets to win, but I think they got a chance. What do you guys think?
I'm going to take the Patriots. They've got the better coach, the better quarterback, and I think the better defense and the better front seven. You know, they're banged up in the secondary a little bit, but this front seven with the Jabal Sheard, Hakeem Hicks has come on really well
lately, and
Jamie Collins is still one of the best linebackers in the NFL. I'm taking the Patriots, and I'm pointing to their defense.
And Chandler Jones and Collins both made the Pro Bowl this week.
I mean, the Jets themselves gave up 12 yards rushing 4 games ago, 24 2 games ago. You know, the Patriots are banged up in the backfield. I guess we believe Steven Jackson's going to come in and save the day. I'm not sure about that. But the Jets, the difference, I would not like the situation for the Jets under Rex Ryan a year ago. I think Todd Bowles has them in a good place, and I don't see them as desperate as much as I think they believe in themselves right now. They are in a desperate spot if they lose this.
I understand the Rex Ryan exhaustion levels, but the one thing you can never get Rex on is he almost always got the Jets up for the Pats and beat the Patriots in the playoffs in Foxborough. So
yeah, that was,
he was always good on those games. It was the games that weren't as high profile that he seemed to fail to properly motivate at times.
The win in Foxborough in the playoffs was half a decade ago, but you're right. Rex typically had them ready because his primary obsession as a human being is Bill Belichick.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but I think the Todd Bowles, it brings this team to a healthier place.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that.
I think they're a better coach team, and the way that their own quarterback's been playing over the past month gives them a chance. Where 7 weeks ago, I would never think about the Jets winning this kind of game.
They outplayed the Patriots for three quarters. If Brandon Marshall doesn't drop a pass inside the 10-yard line, they're going to go up, 10 or 7 points in the fourth
game was
quarter.
Potentially over.
It was up in the air. But what I want to see this week, and what I think's gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit lately, is a great Tom Brady performance in a tough spot, because it's almost getting overlooked with Cam Newton how good Tom Brady has been this season. I think this is the best Tom Brady season in the last 4 years for sure. I mean, he's leading the league in touchdowns. He's leading the league in touchdowns to interception ratio. He's leading the league in passing yards. A lot of things have been going on around him, and he has played outstanding. I just can't say enough of how good Tom Brady's been this year. See him having a vintage game here against the Jets? I could.
Newton was 13-1, people would still be talking about Brady as an MVP.
Yeah, candidate. I totally agree. I hold here in my hands the 2015 season Week 16 research notes. Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. Name the song, Wes.
It's U2. I don't know the song.
Well,
it's not U2.
It's actually a collection of singers. It was their response to "We Are the World," I believe.
It was the Christmas, other way around.
Oh, was it first? But it was the Christmas collection of like 14 British people.
Oh, Bob. What's his name?
Bob Geldof.
Yeah, Bob Geldof.
Band Aid. Do They Know It's Christmas?
Do They Know It's Christmas?
1984. African Aid. Very strange song if you listen to the lyrics. But yes, that was my man Bono singing the most memorable line, because he's a legend, Greg.
Got no problem with Bono.
Anyway.
Nice. He's good for, good short guy.
He is.
Always a fan of those guys.
He is short. Anyway, two things. First of all, since you brought up Brady, he's five touchdowns away from a 40-touchdown season. That would be his second of his career. He had 50, of course, in 2007. But Brandon Marshall is seven catches away from 100 on the season. That would make him the first wide receiver in NFL history with six 100 reception seasons. Mm. Sneaky Canton candidate.
No way.
Sneaky.
No way. One of the most mistake-prone players of his generation, drop-prone, and every team that had him couldn't wait to get rid of him. There's no way he's
Let's
in
see
Canton.
How his career ends.
He's never, not going to
you
Canton.
You never know.
Sneaky.
Take it to the bank. He's not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Sneaky. Him and Eli going in together. And
how many playoff wins does he have? How many playoff appearances
he will have four after this season.
Yeah. You know what? He's a stat compiler
I
on
I love
team.
The optimism.
Look, he's had a fine career.
I'm feeling optimistic this week, too. This is a good game.
I took the Jets, of course, for the 14th straight week. And Wes and Mark both took the Pats. So we'll see what happens. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to the big game in the Meadowlands. Moving on, the Chicago Bears, a team that really has shut it down, basically. I guess they've had their kicker didn't help them in a couple of weeks after that Thanksgiving game, but they haven't won since then, so they're ready to go home. They're 5-9. Speaking of ready to go home, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, get it together, guys. You can't take care of business last week. Who'd they lose to?
Was it the Rams on Thursday Night Football?
You know what? I'm supposed to take you seriously.
No.
But you never should have. They've overachieved.
Right. They've always been a mediocre team, not a playoff.
6-8 is better than we ever thought they were.
Greg, give me one thing about either of these teams in terms of something to look for.
Well, I think Jameis Winston still has a chance to win Rookie of the Year if he closes strong. I think that Rams game was typical, though, of his season. Long stretches where he really wasn't on target, but he kept firing, was very aggressive, ended up having an okay game. Rookie of the Year. That's what you can look for.
All right. Close, strong, Jameis. And that would be quite an achievement for a guy that not since Cam Newton came in the league has there been so much, you know, vitriol fired at a rookie. What, Mark?
No, nothing. Continue on.
No, what?
I'm trying to think the best thing I could say about the Bears is that they are faceless.
I don't think that's what you were thinking.
That's the best thing you can say about them? That's what we criticized the Titans for all of last year.
I don't know why you brought me into the conversation. I was in a moment
this weird
with myself.
Grin, huh? Like you would smoke some peyote or something.
They are a forgettable. As teams go in 2015, they are one of the most forgettable.
Yes, they
are. That is accurate.
That is very true. And we all took the Bucks.
For now.
For now.
I'm going to keep saying that because, you know.
The final 1 p.m. game we're going to talk about is the Houston Texans, the leaders of the AFC South. They could potentially clinch the division on Sunday, can't they?
That's true.
With some help. They are 7-7, which gives them a game lead over Indy, two games over Jacksonville. So they are in good position, and they get the last place team in the division. If you're the last place team in the AFC South, you're a bag of poop, let's be honest. That is the Tennessee Titans, who have made no progress as a franchise, despite it's pretty hard to do. Just like I was saying, it's pretty hard to do that the Falcons could win 5-0 to start their season and then be irrelevant by Christmas. It's pretty hard to import a franchise quarterback and then have him step up in his first year and be productive and then still suck tremendously. And that's what they've managed to do. I know he's been hurt, which doesn't help, but come on, Titans.
You're telling me the Texans can clinch a playoff berth? And all they have to do is beat Zach Mettenberger.
Potentially.
Has Zach Mettenberger ever won a football game in the NFL?
Not yet.
I don't think so.
That J.J. Watt must be licking his chops. I don't know how his hand is doing.
What a rivalry.
Yeah.
Great to have it back.
This
the Watt-Mettenberger.
Like, you couldn't dream up a scenario better for Watt's chances of reclaiming the lead in Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, part of that
Mettenberger back there.
Sure, part of that scenario has Brandon Weeden as your quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, you're playing against.
Wait a second. Why are you essing on Brandon Weeden? Did you see what he did this past Sunday? He willed a team to victory and a potential division title. He's starting a playoff game, buddy.
The Texans have been great all year when a quarterback comes in to relieve the other quarterback. The relief quarterback comes in and lights the sky on fire, and now you've got a week to prepare for Brandon Weeden. And by the way, that's Dick LeBeau, who has fried Brandon Weeden about 400 times.
Well,
so I'm not saying that suddenly the Texans aren't a team that takes care of business either.
Well, they could get Hoyer back. He returned to practice Wednesday. Has not been cleared to play in the game yet, but maybe he will be by Friday. A win does not clinch the division necessarily.
Oh, heavens.
But if Indy loses.
If Indy loses, and there's a chance they get the tie breaks, it's possible if they get their strength of victory that they –
They play the Jaguars in week 17.
I can't figure that out.
Greg loving it right now.
But
can't figure that out?
Well, the strength of victory is too hard. You got to – week 17, you got to play it out two straight weeks. It's tough.
Greg,
we're cracking the veneer over there.
You know, there's someone out there right now that sees a weakness, and they're going to say, I'm going to get right through that force field and be the number one guy on tiebreakers.
Like the dude who does the NCAA brackets every year?
Yes. No, I don't know the
right. Well, there is a guy at NBC that I really learned at the feet of Joe Jeshu, who really is that guy who figures out all the strength of victory and stuff.
And you took him down, and now there's a Greg Rosenthal out there.
He's still doing it. He's still doing it well nationally.
Props, Joe Jeshu. Way to go, Joe Jeshu.
No, there's that bracketologist guy for ESPN who made like a cottage industry for himself. I forget his name.
Well, we all picked the Texans. And by the way, speaking of, Mark, you mentioned preparation. It's not too early for us to start preparing what Houston area charity we're going to donate to, because we did fork the Texans months ago.
What about the Chiefs?
Well, we got two donations coming up from each of us. So
three.
Saved up some money.
Redskins, too, possibly.
Oh
boy. Where's this money coming from?
We'll see. None of those teams have clinched yet. None of those teams have clinched yet.
I agreed that if you guys would fork the Cowboys, I would go along
with
it.
See, it's like mutually assured destruction there.
We had to save the Titans.
Now we'll be saving some people in need. Much more helpful.
Yeah, that is.
Way to look at that like that.
All right, let's move on. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 5-9. They need a miracle. They need to win their final two games. They need Houston to lose both their games. They need the Colts to mess up along the line. And then perhaps, Greg, and some, they'll win a tiebreaker or something like that. But it all starts with the Saints. And here's where – and I wouldn't put Jacksonville blown this game anyway, but Drew Brees, his season should be over, you'd think, because he's listed as day-to-day, but he's the quarterback of a 5-9 team. He's 36 years old. He has a torn plantar fasciata.
Same injury as Peyton Manning.
Same injury that's crippled Peyton Manning. So you would think that Drew Brees ain't playing. Our boy Luke McCown – ain't playing, so that the game it would fall to who?
Who's Matt Flynn?
Your boy Matt
oh,
Flynn.
Oh no,
it's not my boy.
I know your enemy.
He's Dan's boy.
Yeah, we're buddies. We're
big fan of the end around.
Yeah, he's an end around fan. We're Twitter friends. Sorry, Mark.
I will be fine.
So the Saints might not have Drew Brees. I'd be stunned to see.
Maybe we'll see Garrett Grayson, their third round pick.
Well, the whole plan's coming together. New Orleans year. Draft day strategy, finally.
Way, I love the Jaguars, but I –
watch them lose this game even without Brees playing.
I love the Jaguars, but I know we said it makes sense for the NFC East to go to week 17. Let's just end this AFC South race now. I don't want this to go another week.
This has a chance to be the most sterile atmosphere in NFL history this week.
If I'm the coach of whichever AFC South team wins this division, I make them pay for their own flight if they win a playoff game and get beyond that.
I'll take the Saints if Brees plays, but he's probably not going to play. In that case, it'll be the Jaguars for all of us. Moving on here. Now, let's talk about a real football game. The Green Bay Packers travel to Arizona to face the Cardinals. And, you know, there would be, if that game on Sunday night ended, you know, 2.5 minutes earlier, or they pulled their starters and Honey Badger never got hurt. There is no way I would pick against the Cardinals because they're playing so damn well. But this leaves the door open for them potentially to go through some growing pains as they adjust to – I know, Wes, I think you said they have a replacement that is a nice replacement-level type guy, but you're not replacing Honey Badger. I think that this could be something that they have take time to figure out. The Packers, meanwhile, you know, they're 10-4. They have an outside chance of catching Arizona to be the second seed. So this game is Green Bay has a lot to play for, and Arizona has some stuff they got to work out now.
Tyrann Mathieu has been one of the best players in the NFL, but don't get caught up in his name. Rashad Johnson is also one of their best defensive players, missed last week's game, and they blew the Eagles out. I mean, they're going to plug someone in who can play football. Justin Bethel is very good. And the Packers are a flawed team. When's the last time this offense came out and in the first half showed a good passing game and a strong running game together. It's been since
a long
what?
Time.
September? Yeah.
September.
Yeah. I can't take the Packers as a serious threat to come into Arizona and beat the Cardinals until they start playing like the Packers. And they haven't in 3 months.
They haven't, but they have the talent that I always give them a chance, and I would do this in the playoff too, that the talent on both sides of the ball, I think they have enough that they could play a great game and then suddenly it just clicks. I think they have that chance.
Yeah, they have the number 5 scoring defense against an Arizona offense that I don't think it matters what your scoring defense is playing the Cardinals. The Packers, I'm not going to sit around and wait for them to suddenly flip the switch at this point. And I've kept saying that and thinking that over and over. Oh, now Eddie Lacy's healthy. Oh, now Mike McCarthy's calling the plays again. Mm. Oh, fill in the blank. The next thing is going to happen. James Jones wearing a hooded sweatshirt. Well, I don't – at this point, they are who they are. And
Cardinals are a better team in every way.
That's exactly
Absolutely.
Right. And they've got a ton to play for. If the Cardinals ever lost this – and you got to go play the Seahawks next week, and if anything happened in that game, you can lose your bye. So the Cardinals aren't coasting here. It's not just roll to the finish. You've got to take this game.
You're right about the Packers. That I think we all gave them plenty of rope and plenty of benefit of the doubt to shake out of their midseason slump. But it's carried on too far now. And even the win against the Raiders, they took care of business and everything. But still, there was cracks showing there too. This seems like a flawed team that's going to head into the playoffs, and there's going to be multiple teams that are just flat out better than them.
That they have Aaron Rodgers, who was our consensus number one quarterback in the league by far coming into the season and certainly after September. And we've just seen it too many times. I mean, the Giants going into week 16 of either of their Super Bowl runs, the Packers going into week 16 of their Super Bowl one run were not playing well. So we've seen it too many times that I can't count them out. But in this game, there is no reason to believe that the Cardinals would blow it.
Packers don't have the best quarterback in this game.
Not this year.
No.
I'm just talking right now, not entering
as
the
well
season,
as Carson
past
Palmer's
years.
Yeah.
Palmer is playing lights out.
Number one on the old QB index. And one of the reasons he's number one is that offensive line, which they completely rebuilt on the fly. Steve Keim deserves a lot of credit. Valdir turned out to be a great signing. I mean, they have played outstanding.
How cool is Honey Badger, by the way? Wednesday morning, he's out on the field coaching up their defensive backs with a torn ACL.
Hmm. Remember, this was a guy that nobody wanted to draft because he was such a bonehead.
Well, and his response right after he got injured in the days since, I think we see what kind of a character he has. I mean, he's certainly grown into someone that anyone would want on their team at this point.
He's the guy that you look at it the other side too. He's the guy teams will continue to make mistakes drafting poor character guys because they always hope you'll get the honey badger, but it doesn't always work out that way. But he is the exception.
I think Keim probably thinks somewhat like Bill Belichick thinks that if you love football, that's going to overtake some of the character stuff. And that's how Belichick's won some of these guys who supposedly didn't have great characters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think anything ever, like in Steve Keim's life, like whether he hits like a foul shot in his backyard or he cooks like a really good steak or like, his wife is like, man, Steve, you're the best. And he's like, Keim time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
If not, he should take your advice.
All right, let's move on now to a Sunday 4:25 kickoff on Fox. The St. Louis Rams travel to CenturyLink Field. It's known as the Clink, isn't it, Wes?
Indeed.
Seattle playing just tremendous football right now. Wiped out the Browns last week, and now they get the Rams, who are trying to finish the season strong after letting it get away in the midpoint. Saving some face, get to that 7-9, the Jeff Fisher goal of every football season. But Wes, when it comes down to it, Russell Wilson is playing incredible. Where's Russell Wilson, by the way, Greg, on your QB index?
He's number 4 behind Brady, Cam, and Carson Palmer.
I'm a little surprised he's not in the top 3 ahead of Brady.
Brady's been playing great.
I know he's made the whole thing. But Russell Wilson's playing almost at a historic level for the last month.
I think Wilson's easily outplayed him over the last month. But Brady was my number one by a solid margin for the first half of the season.
About the whole year.
And he's still playing well. And he's still playing great. So Wilson had a pretty decent dip around week 4 to 9 or so.
So I like that you're just showing that when it comes to your QB index, you don't, get too hyped up about what you just saw. No recency bias, Greg's saying. This is about the whole picture.
Wow, number 4 in a season where some top-level quarterbacks are playing outstanding. That's pretty good.
Yes, exactly. So now the Seahawks have a chance to move to 10-5. I guess at this point they're just trying to solidify getting the 5 seed over the 6, which would mean that would set them up potentially to face the Redskins or the Eagles or perhaps the Giants. So you really do want that number 5 seed because you want to bang that NFC East team in the first round of the playoffs. That's a nice little way to start your playoff run, and Seattle has a good chance starting with a mediocre Rams team.
I'm waiting for Greg to jump in and say the Rams are the favorites in this game.
No, stop. I know they won in week one. It is a division game.
You can always count on one West dig about the Rams with Greg.
I mean, come on. They've been mediocre for, a decade, and Greg loves them.
Hey, they just took care of the, you know, they routed the best 5-9 team in NFL history, the Detroit Lions, and then ended the Buccaneers' playoff hopes. They're just crushing dreams out there on the way to 7 wins.
Well, they'll get their 7 because they play the 49ers in the season finale.
There you go.
But they're not – I mean, come on. What are their chances of winning this
No,
game?
Almost nothing.
What
Seahawks,
better way?
Seahawks are very possibly the best team in the NFL when they're right now in Seattle.
What better way, if it is the last game for the Rams in St. Louis, for it to end than just a 7-9 banger?
There is no better way.
Throw a parade. You've right under the arch.
Found the perfect narrative.
Mark's ready to go downstairs.
No, I'm not. It's the Rams. I mean, Seattle, just like we talked about a team like the Cardinals.
Not to say anything.
I think Seattle's not about to drop the deal here.
Okay, I got you.
Russell Wilson's playing too well, and the Rams, come on. They are.
We're trying to get you that plane.
I got to
All right, let's go to the next game.
All right, let's move on. This is Sunday Night Football. It got flexed. It would have helped if the Giants would have finished that comeback against the Panthers last week. It would have been really saucy. But the New York Giants, potentially with Odell Beckham, potentially without, as of right now, the appeal hearing, we don't know. We haven't heard for sure which way that went. So Beckham could play in this game, but right now he's not. They are facing the Minnesota Vikings, Vikings team at 9-5. They have just about – they probably, you would think, Greg, by Sunday night will probably be locked into a playoff spot.
Yes, because the Falcons – you know, they want the Falcons to lose, the Bucks. That's why the NBC really – this worked out poorly because they are rooting hard for the Redskins to lose on Saturday night because the Giants could be eliminated by this game. This game could have no juice.
No juice
Ooh.
At all.
It's possible. Or it could have a lot of juice. Or it could have a lot of juice.
It's better than the alternative, which was something
Pittsburgh, grim. Baltimore.
Yeah. So it was probably the right move, even if they don't have a lot of options. But here we are, Teddy Bridgewater coming off the best game of his career. He was almost Phil Simsian in Super Bowl 21. 4 touchdowns, 3 incompletions, passer rating over 150. So, listen, Wes, what?
I'm just picturing Teddy Bridgewater in 25 years as an announcer dropping malapropisms all over the place.
GM.
Saying that the receivers were not open. The receivers have never been open in a Phil Simms game. That's why the quarterback has not done something correctly. Receivers are never, ever open.
I'm not saying he doesn't know football, but it's amazing to me how many times he's just flat out wrong per game.
He took a lot of hits in his career.
Bad show for Phil Simms.
There was a play in the Jets-Cowboys game, which they called, where Phil, it was a pass that was dropped by a receiver, and Simms got 3 things wrong on the replay.
I remember the
in 30
play.
Seconds. He said it was a bad pass. It was right on the money. He said that it was, I think, pass interference or something, or was no interference. He said that he didn't get his hands up in time. It hit him right in the hands. It was like he tripled up. It was I was almost impressed by it.
It's like triple crown of mistakes in announcing.
He nailed it. He hit a home run. I might have to put that in end round.
What I like about Dan is that any critique of any announcer is sort of a ghosting attempt to lift Mike Tirico just up a little bit there.
Mike had another good game on Monday.
He did. And I mean, you don't even need to
write another letter to him to thank him for it.
Next week.
Yeah, but next week we'll do it.
The Vikings, by the way, will have Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, and Linval Joseph all together on the field for the first time in a month.
So the backbone of
getting healthy.
That is big news for them.
And if you're looking
– they played 2 good weeks in a row.
If this doesn't play out and there's not a lot to play for in this game, you still have Adrian Peterson trying to win another rushing title. Maybe one day he can join Brandon Marshall in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what? We've overlooked. The Vikings are trying to stay in the NFC North race and win that division.
That's absolutely true. You're right.
Week 17 winning in, which is pretty likely to happen. If they win this game, they'll be playing for a division title in Week 17.
I have a Christmas gift for Vikings subreddit. They may have been the most snubbed team in the Pro Bowl. Linval Joseph and Harrison Smith. Come on, how do they not make it?
And Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr.
I think Barr out of the three of – well, all three of them, especially
They were
Joseph.
Snubbed. They deserve better.
You know, the Packers are such a weird team, too, that – and Greg, thank you for mentioning that, because that this game could have a huge impact, because the Packers can easily go down in Arizona. If the Vikings take care of business against a Giants team that can't figure out how to close games, then they go to Green Bay in Week 17. And do you really trust the Packers to definitely take care of business in
Not
that game?
Definitely,
they couldn't
no.
even beat the Bears on Brett Favre night on Thanksgiving. The Packers are vulnerable, baby.
That's fair.
That's fair, dog.
We'll see what happens. We all pick the Vikings to put the heat on. Finally, Monday Night Football, the Denver Broncos, the Cincinnati Bengals. But we're not going to see Peyton Manning, and we're not going to see Andy Dalton. It's another Brock Osweiler start. Manning will be inactive. Not only will the Bengals not have Andy Dalton, who has the fractured thumb, they won't have Tyler Eifert. A little troubling. He's sitting out. Rand Getlin, our own Rand Getlin of NFL Media, reporting that he'll be held out of this game and potentially the rest of the regular season to make sure he's right for the playoffs. So that is a major red zone weapon that will be missing in this game for, let's face it, A.J. McCarron, a young quarterback who will be going into a tough spot in Denver.
But he can't use – I don't think they can use quarterback as an excuse, either team, but especially the Broncos. I mean, McCarron is in his second year – he has less experience even than Osweiler. So it comes down to who has the more complete team. And these are two of the teams in the league that have been really in our top five all year. But I think the Bengals are more complete. And it's so weird. I think this is the biggest game of the season in terms of playoff impact. I mean, this is the most meaningful game that we've had yet. And yet it's McCarron and Osweiler.
It's a fascinating game because Osweiler looked lights out in the first half last week and stumbled in the second half. And McCarron looked great against the 49ers front seven that came to play last week. He popped off some really good throws down the field and managed a good game. Look at their Bengals defense too. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, Vontaze Burfict is playing great. And it's not a lock that the Broncos defense is going to outplay the Bengals defense in this game.
It's also not just the last game for Osweiler. Like, over the last three, his passer rating in the second half collectively dropped by 75 points.
They haven't scored touchdowns in the second half.
Keep talking about this game. I'm calling my Uber right now.
I know. We got to game.
I'm fascinated by it. Like Greg said, it's worth a lot. And I think it's hard to pick which team's better in this game. You don't know which quarterback's going to show up.
Well, and we've talked about it downstairs a lot. I don't know if we have on the – show that, you know, the Broncos, they lose this game, they lose control of the AFC West. Suddenly they're a potential 5 seed or 6 seed going on the road in the first week. Now, that might not be bad if you're the 5 seed going to the AFC South. But if they lose this game, they lose control of even having a playoff spot. They'll know on Monday night some of the scenarios will be more defined than they are right now. But they could fall right out of the playoffs, which is crazy for a team that we're talking about as the potential number one seed 2 weeks ago.
I think the Bengals are just the better team.
I agree.
I don't even know who I picked in this, but I'll pick Cincinnati if I happen to do something else downstairs.
Well, you didn't pick Cincinnati. You picked the Broncos.
Well, but that just happened before. But
that's kind of why it fascinates me, because after watching the 49ers game, I thought the Bengals were the better team too. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Broncos just flat out shut McCarron down either.
Yeah, because we don't have enough. We don't know enough about McCarron at this point.
I think Osweiler, and we don't know if Osweiler is even healthy. You have to factor in what happened to his shoulder potentially into why his stat. He was two different quarterbacks last week. But I find it hard to imagine McCarron having luck against that Denver defense. But
at home, I mean, in Denver, that's going to be a tough, really tough matchup.
That's going to lie.
DeMarcus Ware is healthy. Malik Jackson played great last week. There's a lot going on with that Broncos defense.
My Uber driver is named Todd. Todds are still,
what's he driving?
In there, huh?
Could be Todd Marinovich for all we know.
Chrysler Sebring. That was the Michael Scott car.
Oh.
How many minutes away?
He's 4 minutes.
Huh. I take Uber all the time. Four is, I usually get him in two.
Well, you know what? Maybe
they knew that we were talking about a big game, and they were giving you a little.
Well, I think you got to wrap
like
the show.
Yeah, well, rating. That might be a possibility as well.
What's that?
I said you might have like a 3-star rating, so they choose not to pick you up.
Whoa!
Is there a way to check that?
I think there's a potential that Dan's rating has taken a few hits based on some late night cabs that we've taken.
No, people like me.
I'd lose the headset and start walking out of the studio. Yeah. That's what I'd do.
So that is it. That's all the games in week 16. And that's it. So we just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, enjoy your Friday.
Well, enjoy your time off. You're probably off of work.
That's true.
It's a family day.
It actually falls on a good day this year, too. It's on a Friday, so you know, everybody's going to have a long weekend, unless you work in the service industry or for the NFL. Yeah, there's a lot of different sub-genres.
Then you're banged.
Yeah,
then the NBA. Could be even – the NBA would be bad. NBA.com on Christmas. That's like their big day.
You know
that feels depressing.
You know who's not taking 3 days off? Mike Tirico. He's studying for Monday night. I can guarantee you that. We got to get Mike on the show.
We know that Mike Tirico likes to have his fun, too.
Well, that's fair. All right. So, yes, thank you for everyone for listening. We'll be back on Sunday night with our flagship program, the Week 16 Recap. Until then.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, Big B behind the glass. Working on the nickname.
I'll take that.
All right. Until Sunday.
Hi and hello, football fans, and happy holidays. Make sure you check out the latest episode of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. We're making our Week 16 picks with the director of The Big Short, Adam McKay. Let's drink to that, handsome.